Well, good morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Super big day for us as we celebrate people going public through baptism. You may be wondering kind of why we do a day like this. We call it Life Change Sunday because baptism is an expression of that. Baptism is an expression of people coming together and saying, hey, there's a person who says, my life is different. So by seeing their life change, it inspires those of us maybe who've already taken that step. It inspires life change the same way in us. So some folks have shown up today and they were ready to go, man. They were teed up and ready to be baptized. And then there are folks who have come today who I'm looking at right now, who maybe did not show up ready to be baptized today, but our prayer is that God would speak to you this morning and that you would be willing to take that step. And you probably say, well, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody take that step? And I'll give you two reasons really quickly this morning that somebody would take that step. We'll get the first reason from John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Then he being John the Baptist, consented. So the first reason is that baptism is a public announcement of a personal decision. It's a public announcement of a personal decision. What's interesting about John the Baptist and his preaching and teaching leading into the New Testament about baptism is that he took baptism out of a Hebrew context. In their world, the only time they knew of anyone being baptized was when a Gentile was being converted to Judaism. So a Gentile would come along and say, you know what, I believe in Jehovah, I believe in the Hebrew God and monotheism, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the Shema that they used to quote, I believe in that, I want my life to identify with that. And if a Gentile came along and wanted to join Judaism, that was the only time they knew baptism. They would get in a tub or a large pool of water, and the person, individual, would step into the tub, and they would essentially, what we would call, they would take a ritual bath. They would get in there, they would dunk all the way under the water. That's what the word baptizo means. It means to plunge or to immerse or to dunk, or they would go all the way under the water, and essentially what they were saying in that is, I'm cleaning off my old Gentile way of beliefs and patterns, and I'm identifying with the God Jehovah. Now, what made John the Baptist different is John the Baptist comes along and he offers a baptism of repentance. It's a different, it's not a ritual of identification as much as now it's a baptism of repentance. So John the Baptist comes along and he says, like a lifeguard after pool check, everybody in the water, right? John the Baptist says, no, everybody needs to be baptized into this new covenant, that this Messiah that you've been waiting for all these years, that he is bringing. And all of a sudden people begin to respond to John the Baptist, to his teaching and to his preaching on baptism because it made sense. It made sense that it wasn't just Gentiles who were flawed and Gentiles who had sin. They looked around their world and they said, you know what? John, what he's saying makes sense. We're all flawed. We're all sinful. We all have made mistakes. And so it would make sense that all of us need to repent. All of us need to turn our hearts towards God. So this is not a step that just certain people need to take. This is a step that everyone who identifies with the new covenant, everyone who's a believer in this coming Messiah, and John was saying this is the Messiah that is. You haven't met him yet, but he's coming. He's on his way. And actually, John got to introduce Jesus to them in Matthew chapter 3 in the passage that we read this morning. And Jesus comes, and Jesus is baptized. Jesus says to John the Baptist, I'm going to be baptized. And it says in the text that John the Baptist would have prevented him. In other words, John the Baptist, you think I'm going to baptize you? You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, it is necessary. It is needful to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus goes through the process of baptism. Now, I think the way that kind of reigns on our hearts today is that if Jesus was baptized, if Jesus says it was necessary for him to fulfill all righteousness, how can any of us call ourselves Christians, call ourselves believers, call ourselves disciples and followers of Christ who don't practice baptism in the same way that Jesus practiced baptism? Doesn't make sense. Everyone who's baptized in the New Testament, every single person who's baptized in the New Testament is baptized in ownership of their faith after their post-salvation by immersion. Every one of them. Now, that always brings up a question for us because we live in the Midwest and because there are churches and traditions in the Midwest that practice infant baptism. And you say, well, Dima, I was baptized whenever I was a baby. So what does that mean? What do I do? Here's what we would say. We would say that that was an expression of your parents when you were an infant. And that was an expression that they said, man, hopefully one day my child will grow up, they'll take ownership of their faith, and they'll live out the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That their hope, their dream for you as a child is that you would grow up and that you would become a Christian and take ownership of your faith. I believe the New Testament teaches that at that moment, when you make that decision, when you decide to own your own faith, when your faith becomes yours, it's not your parents' faith anymore, it's your faith, that at that point, you need to experience believer's baptism, post-salvation by immersion. So if you're here today, and you say, man, Dean, that's kind of where I am, we wouldn't do anything to negate what your parents did whenever you were an infant. We would say that today would be the culmination of your parents' hope. We'd say that today would be what your parents hope for and dream for, that you would become an obedient Christ follower that would live in accordance with God's word. So you may be here today and you may say, well, Dean, it would be great to be baptized today, but I can't do that because I didn't come ready to do that. I didn't bring clothes to do that. You're in luck. Because today, out in the lobby over here to my left and to your right, we have t-shirts, we have line shorts, we have undergarments, all of them brand new in every shape and every size. We have hair products, combs, brushes, makeup remover, we have towels for you, we have anything and everything that you would need to take the step of being baptized today. We've set up personal changing areas in addition to our restrooms so that you have a spot to change and then change back into the clothes in which you came into or came in today with. And you say, well, you know what, Dean? I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys going to all the trouble, but I've always thought if I was ever gonna be baptized, I would want my friends to be here or family members to see it. You're in luck. Because today we are broadcasting this service live on the World Wide Web just for you. And you can text your friends or family members, you can shoot them a text and say, hey, log in, watch the service live here in about 15 or 20 minutes. I'm gonna take the step of going public with my baptism. Yeah, but Dean, okay, so I just feel a little bit nervous because if I walk out there, other people are gonna know what to do and I'm not gonna know what to do. You're in luck. All you have to do today, when we start singing here in a minute, all you need to do when everybody stands up is go out the back doors right there in the back of the auditorium, and there'll be folks out there with yellow lanyards on, and you walk up to one of them, and all they're gonna do is walk you around this side. They'll get you all the gear you need. They'll get you to a spot to change. They'll walk you through the whole process and tell you anything and everything that you needed to know. You're gonna say, well, Dean, I think that I've thought about baptism before, but I've always wanted to wait and to be baptized with my kids or with my spouse whenever they make that decision. Can I just say to you as nicely and kindly as I can, maybe if you go ahead and obey God's word, maybe your kids will follow that or your spouse will follow that. Why would you delay your obedience to what it is that God is speaking into your life, right? That doesn't, when we talk to our kids, you know, we got a child out in the road, right? And we're like, hey, get out of the road. We don't want them to sit and think about it for a while, right? Take their time and think it over. What are the merits? Well, maybe I'll do it later on tonight. Maybe I'll get out of the road. No, when we speak to them and we want them to obey and to listen. There's no reason to delay your obedience. There is no excuse for you to not take that step of following Christ in believer's baptism today. If Jesus did it, he's our example and we need to do it. But I'll give you another reason. Paul says to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 6, Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, that we too may walk in newness of life. The second reason is that baptism is a picture of salvation. That's what Paul says. Paul says that when you're baptized, you preach the gospel. You tell the narrative of the gospel to other people. Just like Jesus, he says, he uses the word, was immersed or plunged under or baptized into death. In other words, your sins, my sins, when Jesus was on the cross, they were all laid on him. He was immersed in sin into death. Just like the person you, whenever you're baptized, you go down into the water. It's a picture of that. But just like Jesus was raised, he was miraculously resurrected on the third day, we're raised, we come up out of the water as a picture of Jesus's resurrection and the new life that he offers to us. So baptism, while it is not salvific in nature, and what I mean by that is you don't have to be baptized to be a Christian. It is a commandment of God as part of our obedience, as part of our faith walk and faith journey as we follow him. We are called to take this step of going public with our baptism because it tells the story of Jesus over and over again. So what you're gonna see today is you're gonna see people who, in a symbolic way, as they go down into the water and then come out of the water, are picturing the cross, or they're picturing the gospel for us. A lot of times when it comes right down to it, what we really feel, we wouldn't say out loud, is, Dean, I would do that, but you know what? There are people who know me. And there are people who, I've been a Christian for a number of years, and I've led groups, or I've taught studies, or and what are they gonna think if I'm baptized today? Can I just say, who cares? Who cares? Isn't it more important what God thinks than what anybody else thinks or says about you? Listen, the longer you stew and the longer you think, the more you're gonna delay and the more you're gonna put it off. There's no reason for you not to take the step of going public in baptism today. You know, that's been 4 or 5 years ago. I was up here teaching one Sunday, and if you've been around our church for a while, you know that almost every Sunday, whenever I'm done teaching, I give people the opportunity to take the step of personally following Christ, to become a disciple, not just to kind of get my free pass, you know, to heaven or anything like that, but to become a disciple, to become a follower of Christ. And typically the way that I do that is I invite people to pray with me, and then I ask them to, in a sense, take their first public step of acknowledging that by raising their hand. Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was up here teaching on Sunday morning. We kind of got to the end. It's the only time this has ever happened, at least since we've been here at LifePoint for 13 years. I went through that part of the prayer time, asking people to respond, and then I asked people to raise their hands, and a couple people around the room raised their hands. And there was a guy, he was sitting on the third row, right over here during that time, and everybody's got their heads bowed, right? And I asked people to raise their hands, and you know, there's a hand raised here or there, and all of a sudden, out of his chair, he goes, and just looks right at me, sitting right there. And nobody else is looking around, right? Just me and him locked eye. And I'm wondering what's going on. Why are you standing up, man? Because I didn't say stand up. Why are you standing up? And he looks at me and I look at him, and all of a sudden I get a little giddy and nervous on the inside. And I look at him and he looks at me. And I'm like, you want to follow Christ? And he looks at me and he goes, just like that. And I've thought about that over and over and over again. Why, when I ask people just to raise your hand to acknowledge that, did this guy get up out of his seat and stand up? The only conclusion I can get to is that what God was stirring in this guy was, he may miss it if I raise my hand. And this is the moment that God is speaking to me, and I'm not gonna get missed. It's time for me to stand up. And I would just say, if you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a believer, and you've never experienced believer's baptism, today is your day to stand up. Today is your day to follow Christ, to not only be obedient, but to tell the story of salvation, what God has done in his activity, in your heart, and in your life. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray, and after I pray, I'm gonna step over here into the baptism area, and I'm gonna baptize the folks who came ready to be baptized today. After I do that, we're gonna sing a little bit, and at any point, as soon as I'm done praying, during the first round of baptisms, you can just stand up, go right out those back doors. Somebody will meet you and walk you through the process. If any time during, as we stand up to sing, you sense God speaking to you, stand up, walk out those doors. Somebody will meet you. And you say, "Man, I'm not ready. I don't know. I don't." Listen, you can delay and delay and delay. Or you can stand up and you can take a step. So I'm going to pray, and then you're going to have the opportunity to respond. At any point during our service, you can walk out those back doors, somebody will meet you, and you can take that step. I'm going public with your baptism today, okay? Let's pray together. God, I'm so grateful and so excited for today. I'm excited for people, God, who have both come ready to be baptized today to take this step of going public. And Lord, I'm really excited for folks who are here today that, Lord, they have an opportunity that you've put in front of them, a grace opportunity, God, the way that you do with our hearts and our lives, that you just speak to us and speak to us. And like a kind father, you give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So God, I pray for the responsiveness, not just of the folks being baptized today. I certainly pray for my response to the life changing others, that God, that would spur me and call me, Lord, to a closer, to a more intimate walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given your lives as a substitute for ours. It's in your name we pray, amen.